Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye, Rose, is the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 8:10 here on Friday morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Thank you for listening. Great to have you. I wish I could see you. I really do. I love looking in the eyes of people who are listening, but it just doesn't work that way on radio. Julio Diaz is with us. He is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturday, and also the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. And this segment is brought to you by Sunday Market on Palafox. Make Sunday Market on Palafox part of your Sunday routine every Sunday, downtown Pensacola, 11:30 to 3:30. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Here's the secret that the listeners at home should know. You can't see them, but I can.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, cool. Your powers of surveillance and your Jedi mind powers, you see what I've done there, are very advanced. Speaking of Star Wars, Mandalorian, and Grogu. I've heard a lot of criticism, but I expect it's better than the criticism allows.
Yeah, I don't understand why people are being so hard on this movie. Now, it's if you like the series, The Mandalorian, I don't see why you wouldn't like this movie. I have seen it. It's fun. Does it feel maybe smaller than some of the big trilogy Star Wars movies? Yeah, but so what? You know, you can have smaller movies. That's fine. Not everything needs to be the fate of the entire galaxy is resting upon the shoulders of one person, you know, or one small group of, you know, ragtag band of rebels. It's a fun movie. It's The Mandalorian and Grogu. They have an adventure. It's an adventure that you don't necessarily have to have watched the series to get. There's not a whole lot of mythology involved in it.
Okay.
But, you know, they go out on this adventure. They get involved with, they're working for the New Republic. They answer to a colonel in the New Republic who's played by Sigourney Weaver. So we get to see Sigourney Weaver in a Star Wars movie.
Nice.
You know, that doesn't suck. And they get sent to find this hut to make this deal to track down this Imperial. You get to learn a lot more about the huts in this.
Okay.
And you get a different view of the huts. It's a fun movie. It's, you know, 61% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a better movie than that. That
okay.
sounds like
All
it.
Right. I love boosters.
And I love this movie. This is the latest film from Boots Riley, who did Sorry to Bother You a few years ago. He is a very individual and distinctive filmmaker. He makes these films that are very funny and have a lot to say and very, very weird.
Okay.
Like it's a very singular vision. This one, I Love Boosters, is about a group of young women who are boosters. They go into these high fashion stores, steal stuff, and resell it at a reasonable price to people. Kiki Palmer is the lead in this movie. She's fantastic. Everybody in it's really good. It's really funny. And yes, it's really weird. And there are things that are going to be thrown at you that you're not going to expect. Very satirical. Point of view might not be for everybody who maybe is a fan of the politics that often get discussed on this show.
Okay.
But, it's kind of a very left-wing point of view, but it's a very funny movie.
Well, they sound like Robin Hood for Gucci. I mean, you know, they're robbing the rich fashion and selling at a cheap price so that everybody can share in the wealth or whatever. So
a little bit. Great cast additionally with Demi Moore and Lakeith Stanfield and Poppy Liu. It's fantastic film.
Passenger?
This is one of several smaller horror/thriller movies that are out this week. A couple witness a car accident and find themselves pursued by a demon from the site that they cannot, you know, they cannot outrun.
Everyday happening, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it any good?
Okay reviews on this in the 50%.
Also in the semi-horror genre, I guess, Corporate Retreat.
Yeah, this one's not screened for critics, which is unfortunate because I did kind of like the trailer on this. It is these folks that work for this eccentric company leader. I don't know if he's a billionaire or whatever. He seems like he might be, but it's played by Alan Ruck. And they find themselves locked into this, you know, obsessive culture that leads to them, you know, being basically tortured and forced to kill each other.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Sure.
Horror movie, not screen for critics.
3.9, by the way, on IMDb, which is terrible. Like, you know, I don't watch movies if IMDb usually doesn't say it's a 6 or at least a 5. For them to go below 4 is extraordinarily low. Saccharin?
Yet another horror movie. This is about a lonely young woman who finds herself pursued by a demon after she participates in the latest weight loss fad craze, which in this case is consuming human ashes.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah. Sounds cool. Although that one actually rates. What's the rating on this? What's the Rotten Tomatoes on this?
Decent, 70%.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got a 6.6 on IMDb, which is actually quite high for a movie. Let's see, and May Contain My Life, which is a movie about food additives.
Yeah, it's about, not about additives, but about allergies, you know, people that live with food allergies.
Oh, I see. Okay.
How, you know, just opening a bag of chips can, you know, endanger their lives at times. Not screen for critics on this.
All right, what are you going to watch next week?
Possibly looking at the movie Backrooms, which was a found footage horror short that was made a few years ago that's been expanded into a feature now. It's getting a lot of buzz.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to talking to you then. Julio Diaz, the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock tomorrow here on News Radio, and also the founder and host of the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow him on Facebook. Julio, as always, thank you, sir. I appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
All right. Coming up next, Transgressive Memorial Service. Find out why Brother Andrew really likes Quinta Brunson as the voice of Betty Boop. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
The late service. And the traffic is brought to you by Home Outlet. Home Outlet in Pensacola, where you'll find flooring for every budget. Big savings on your next home project. Back to rolling accident-free right now. Not even seeing anything that's going to slow you down. I-10, I-110, 90-29. It all looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Spend your Sunday in the heart of downtown Pensacola at the Sunday Market on Palafox. Every Sunday from 11:30 to 3:30, you'll find fresh, local produce, handmade goods, art, and great food from Pensacola's own makers. It's the perfect stop after church or brunch, and a great way to support the small businesses that make our community special. Make Sunday Market on Palafox part of your Sunday routine. Every Sunday, downtown Pensacola.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Whether it's the style and performance of the all-new 2026 Outback or the extraordinary mileage of the 2026 Forester Hybrid, your next Subaru is guaranteed to put more scenery in your scenic route. The iconic Subaru Outback has been completely redesigned with sharper lines and more edge, making it look as tough and rugged as it drives. And the Forester Hybrid, with a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank and up to 40% better city fuel economy, will let you hit the road again and again and again. Both come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Forester Hybrid. Love never looks so good. Get your next Subaru at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, or online at AndersonSubaru.com. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
You ever look at your bank account and think, okay, that could be better? Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Harvard University, whose faculty this week voted overwhelmingly to limit the number of A grades that can be given out to a mere 20% of the students in a class plus 4. This means that a class of 15 students would have no more than 7 A's, a class of 30 could have no more than 10, and a class of 100 could have no more than 24. There are no restrictions on the number of A minuses or other grades to be given. Now, supporters say they opted for this draconian policy after the number of A's at Harvard rose from 20% of all grades in 2005 to 40% of all grades in 2015, and now 60% of all grades in 2025. In fact, in last year's graduating class alone, more than 50 students graduated with perfect GPAs, and they said something had to be done. But why? One of our core principles is that all people are equal, and some are more equal than others. But how can we say that everyone is equal and be proud of our anti-ableism if we also give some people A's and other people lesser grades? Who do you think invented the participation trophy? The self-graded paper? The accommodation being had at taking tests? Social-emotional learning? Equity audits? And who do you think tore down that racist, judgmental, merit-based academic atrocity, the SAT? We did! And throughout it all, including all the ways we've tried to smuggle affirmative action back into higher education, Harvard has been right there with us until now. Because we know that Harvard is essentially one of the top 10 theological seminaries for the Holy Church of Wokeness, Reformed, relentlessly producing a consistent cadre of wokeites year after year who go on to influence culture and law, politics, education, business, and media, we are tempted to trust their judgment on something like this. But as broad-minded egalitarians who are fully opposed to the idea of individual merit and ranking people according to their personal effort, we must oppose the Crimson. So shame on you, Harvard, for being so mean and saying that 80% of students will not have to settle for only receiving an A-minus or, gasp, a B, when in their own minds they identify as A students. For shame, we hereby grade you veritas minus. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, our outstanding award of distinction goes to the Congressional Black Caucus and NAACP President Derek Johnson for fighting back against the Supreme Court and a host of southern states who have clearly started down the path of disenfranchising black voters through what they falsely call race-neutral congressional redistricting.
We are calling on athletes who are coming out of high school not to attend any state-funded school of states that have moved to minimize our right to vote.
Absolutely. Hit them where it hurts. If states want to abandon insanely drawn congressional maps whose sole purpose is to artificially enhance the chances that black Democrat voters will be able to elect black Democrat representatives, then the state universities operated by those states must suffer the consequences.
No representation, no revenue. No one black should be on a playing field of institutions that's living off of our labor, and yet in states that are seeking to reinstitute a sharecropping reality.
Indeed. Even though black athletes frequently make boatloads of money through name, image, likeness deals in those schools, and of course often go on to make even larger boatloads of money in the NFL and the NBA, calling it sharecropping is a deft reframe. What does the 89th law of wokeness say? When reality's not on your side, deny reality and say the false thing as if it's true. So making it seem like sharecropping is the correct analogy is a perfect illustration of using loaded language to confuse the point. And an emphatic after the statement never hurts your cause.
But the 55% of us who live in the former Confederate South, we will not tolerate a Confederate mentality on our labor, on our ability to contribute, and our ability to be to have representation.
Yes, by all means remind people that even though it was only a short 160 years ago that the Civil War reunited the country and that there hasn't been a Confederacy since, nevertheless, whenever anyone in a southern state who even hints at something we dislike, throw around that term Confederacy as fast as you possibly can. Johnson's only mistake here, and I say this as a friendly amendment after the fact, is that he didn't make any references to Jim Crow, good old boys, poll taxes, lynchings, or the Ku Klux Klan. That was a tactical error on his part. But with so much other good work being done, we'll let it slide. However, if there is one piece of real criticism for President Johnson, it's that he isn't going far enough. It's a good start to call on black athletes to boycott SEC states, but why stop there? Do only athletes matter? What about all black students? Why attend schools in states that are racist? What about black teachers? Why teach at schools in states that are racist? Why only schools? Shouldn't the NAACP be asking all people to not just boycott these states, but to actively flee and leave for places like California and Illinois and New England, where they're completely willing to pander to blacks with custom-drawn congressional districts. I mean, logically, if all African Americans simply fled the southern states entirely, in the next census, those states would lose a massive chunk of political power, which would transfer to the new, more densely black states, who would then pick up representatives and power. But even at that, why only blacks? Should white athletes not be called upon to be anti-racist allies? White students? White teachers? White visitors and residents? The only real flaw in Johnson's demand is that he didn't ask for enough. If all the blacks and all the anti-racist whites fled Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, Missouri, Louisiana, South Carolina, and Texas, we could probably cut their congressional influence by two-thirds or more. And we would know for sure where all the racists live because anyone who stays would self-identify as one. Yes, a mass migration out of southern states is a fantastic solution. And then, well, we could just expel them from the union entirely. Why not? Would we really want states that densely populated by racist whites to stay in the country? We could send them on their merry cross-burning bedsheet-wearing way. They could just form their own little association or community or, I don't know, confederacy of states. Yes, give them what they always wanted. An emaciated, racist, all-white confederacy that is isolated from the real America and won't compete in sports, academics, or economics either. They can keep their sandy beaches and temperate climate. It counts for nothing in comparison with the self-righteous glow of anti-racist pride. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our shimmering little black dress of justice with 43 fantabulous flapper fringe tassels goes to writer, actor, and comedian Quinta Brunson, the creator and star of Abbott Elementary, for announcing that she will be the voice of Betty Boop in an upcoming project on the history of the development of the famous cartoon Bombshell. As you all know, Betty Boop is a voluptuous, coquettish 1920s flapper in short skirts who shakes her hips, pouts her lips, and periodically utters a catchphrase.
Boop, boop, father.
Now, according to documents at the time, cartoonist Max Fleischer based the character on real-life white singer Helen Kane, who was so unhappy about the similarities in look and sound that she actually sued Fleischer Studios for today's $6 million for using her traits without consent or compensation. Now, if you see Betty and Helen side by side, the likeness is indisputable. But that's what makes this story so wonderful. Because, as you all know, Quinta Brunson is African-American, thus a black woman is voicing a white cartoon character, which means she's actively engaging in, yes, triple backflip reverse cultural disappropriation, stealing cultural power by decentering whiteness. Quinta Brunson is absolutely following our playbook on dismantling the white straight patriarchy, or what we will start referring to as WISP culture, by swapping minority race, gender, and sexual orientation for, in this case, a white icon. Brunson's just following in the footsteps of so many other examples, from making Spider-Man be black, or female, or gay, or all three, to having a female black surfer, a gay or black Captain America, having Samuel L. Jackson portray the white Nick Fury, or Halle Berry as the black Little Mermaid, or Katie Sackhoff portray Battlestar Galactica's Starbuck, or even making James Bond's male boss M a female, or 007 themselves black or female, or maybe even bisexual. And just look at what Christopher Nolan is doing for The Odyssey in casting Lupita Nyong'o as Helen of Troy and the waif-like transgender Elliot Page as Achilles. Outstanding. We must deliberately, even aggressively, capture key WISP icons in a concentrated effort to dismantle the solidifying totems of the white supremacy cultural fabric. But this is even better than all that. If it were only transracializing Betty Boop with a black voice, that would be one thing. But there's already a move afoot to redefine the character entirely by claiming Betty Boop was actually based off of, yes, black performer Baby Esther Jones. This is full-blown tier 4 gaslighting, and we love it. Not just transforming a white icon into a black one, but actually claiming she was black all along, meaning that Betty Boop represented stolen flapper valor. The fact that this counter-narrative is not true only makes the gaslight all the more delicious. So well done, Quinta. Instead of public enemies who stole the soul, you showed us who swiped the sway. The only question that remains is whether Betty Boop herself will be redrawn as the sultry black queen she should have always been, and then whether she'll be swapping out her famous black skirt for a white one, since otherwise she'll definitely be difficult to draw. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
I can't believe I said black surfer instead of silver surfer.
It's fine.
John Pickens has traffic for us, John.
All right, no accidents to report to you. If you are driving right now, you should see no delays. How about that? I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
People sometimes ask me whether I write that out. Oh, no, that's just all off the cuff.
Right.
It takes me 3 hours on Thursday to write that. And
do you isolate yourself at your desk?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's all the time. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
U.S. lawmakers are trying again to make daylight savings time permanent. The U.S. Senate tried in 2022 to make it year-round, but it didn't pass the House at that point. Yesterday, a House committee did vote in favor of it. The measure is supported by President Trump, but is expected to face opposition.
All right, thanks so much, David. Oh, coming up, we have a unique wrap. We're going to have both former county commissioners for District 4, Grover Robinson and then mayor, and Robert Bender and then supervisor of elections in to talk about traffic and county issues. Should be fun.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Some movement with Iran. Secretary Rubio with a Memorial Day weekend outlook for averting new U.S. military action.
We await word on those conversations that are ongoing. There's been some slight progress. I don't want to exaggerate it, but there's been a little bit of movement, and that's good. The fundamentals remain the same. Iran can never have a nuclear weapon.
Secretary Rubio in Sweden for a NATO summit adds Iran wants to toll the Strait of Hormuz and talk Oman into joining them, which President Trump says is a no-go. Remembering NASCAR legend Kyle Busch, who passed away suddenly with a severe illness, age 41. His final NASCAR on Fox interview on winning Dover last week, he was asked, why do these moments never get old?
You never know when the last one is.
Kyle's former team, Hendrix Motorsports, says as much as he loved to drive, nothing brought him more joy than being a husband, a father, and watching his son race. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3 right now. It's 79 degrees. We've got cloudy skies. We'll get a full look at our forecast. That's up in just a few minutes. Santa Rosa County Commissioners moving carefully on a fix for the Tunnel Road and Quintet Road intersection because a $26 million highway project already in the works may solve part of the problem. The planned widening of Chemukla Highway could change how traffic flows through the corridor, limiting the ability of drivers to use Tunnel Road as a north-south cut-through. But Commissioner Bobby Burkett says that doesn't help the people who live there.
My first thought was to close off the short section of Tunnel Road, but after sitting there and observing the amount of traffic that comes from the schools and the ball games and everything that uses that road, that's not the answer. We want to try to do something to eliminate the hazard that's got there.
And Burkett said the top option could be using impact fees to install turn lanes. The Santa Rosa Board voting to give the staff, county staff, the green light to begin exploring options. No funding has been committed yet. County Administrator Brad Baker said staff will be doing some internal research and bring findings back to the board for scoring and prioritization through the capital improvement plan process. Pensacola State College in Milton broke ground yesterday on an $8 million diesel and marine mechanics training center aimed at filling one of the Gulf Coast's most in-demand workforce gaps. The 13,000-square-foot facility will feature in-ground service pits and is expected to be done by mid to late 2027. PSC President Dr. Ed Meadows says diesel mechanics with overtime could even earn six-figure salaries. The program is open for dual enrollment students as well, meaning some people could enter the workforce straight out of high school. An inaugural class of 15 students has already begun the diesel program. Kyle Busch, two-time NASCAR Cup Series champion and two-time Snowball Derby winner at Five Flags Speedway, has died at age 41. Five Flags director Tim Bryant says the racing community locally is devastated.
When he showed up at the racetrack, he meant business. And, I mean, obviously that's why I think he was so successful in his career, because he gave it 100% every single lap.
And Bryant says that that Busch made Five Flags Speedway history, and the Speedway will pay its respects to the NASCAR legend. Busch is survived by his wife and their two children. Senator Ashley Moody is celebrating the rollback of what she's calling the Green New Scam. Moody visited the Oval Office yesterday, where President Trump was announcing the rollback of Biden-era energy policies. Moody said harmful ultra-progressive policies drove up costs, hurt businesses, and undermined economic growth. Well, it looks like the Tampa Bay Rays stadium deal in Tampa can move forward, but there could still be some hurdles ahead. The Tampa Council yesterday approved a non-binding memorandum of understanding with the team. The Hillsborough County Commission approved a deal the day before. Calls for the county and the city to put up almost $1 billion with the Rays, putting up more than $1 billion. And it's 8:35 here at News Radio 92.3. And John has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by ECUA, making service easier with the new My ECUA mobile app available to download now. Pay your bill, report service issues, alerts, and recycling tips. We're still rolling accident-free right now, even delay-free. Wow, traffic is very slow this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at some rain today, 50% chance of a shower or thunderstorm, otherwise high near 84 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Saturday, 40% chance of rain, high near 84. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Keeping a 30% chance of rain on that Sunday with a high near 83 degrees, and Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 79 degrees with cloudy skies. Your next news at 9 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Your money now this hour. Markets at the opening bell are up. The Dow's up over a half percent, 50,578, 70. The S&P 500 up just over half percent as well. It's 78.49.54. NASDAQ is up just under 0.75% right now, 26.457.92. 10-year bond rate today is down at 4.53%. Gold prices are down 19.10 at 45.23.40. Silver's down 26 cents at 76.47. Now, looking at our oil prices today, we are up a penny for West Texas Intermediate. That's at $96.36 a barrel this morning. Brent crude up 60 cents at $103.15 a barrel. Taking a look at gas prices across the nation, the national average at down today at $4.55 a gallon. Now, Florida's statewide average is at $4.47 today, down from $4.51 yesterday. Seeing prices in Escambia County averaging about $4.14 a gallon. In Santa Rosa County, just about $4.20 a gallon for your average. Taking a look at our financial headlines today. The long holiday weekend could be a big boom for bargain hunters, whether you're planning to visit a brick-and-mortar store or do some online shopping. These are the things experts say to buy and which to pass on. They say there's going to be good deals this weekend on furniture, mattresses, appliances, and tools, as well as spring clothing that'll transition well into summer. But they're saying, wait, if you're planning on buying electronics, TVs, computers, grills, or cars, they say there's a lot better deals on those as you head into the fall season. SpaceX is expected to make another attempt today to launch its massive Starship V3 rocket after yesterday's test flight was scrubbed at the last minute. Elon Musk said the issue had to do with a hydraulic pin holding the tower arm in place that was not properly retracting. President Trump is expected to swear in Kevin Warsh as the Federal Reserve Chairman today. The White House ceremony follows Warsh's Senate confirmation. The 56-year-old will succeed Jerome Powell, whose term expired earlier this month. It's 8:38. Our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you. On your phone, on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Everybody jump. Jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip, hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip, hop, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Just wanted to bring it up to the board here that we're at our breaking point. So when we start getting and start seeing more congestion on 98, there's not really much more we can do from a technology and signal operations standpoint. We've pretty much...
That is Destin Taylor. He is a traffic engineer with DRMP, and he came and presented the TPO, something that we've seen us talk about quite a bit, that the breaking point is here for Pensacola Beach traffic, 399, Bob Sykes Bridge, the intersection of Via de Luna, Highway 98 leading up to there, that they've done all the technological stuff that they can do, and there's just no more capacity, really. The number of 20,000 car days is at a record rate last year, 66 out of 80 Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. Every day of the week had a 20,000-plus day. We've already this year had 227,000 days, and we aren't even at Memorial Day yet. Broke the record over last Saturday. So I thought, let's have some people on to talk about beach traffic, some people who might have a thought or two about this. And I think this is actually a first. I have both former county commissioners who are no longer sunshine prohibited from talking to each other about these matters from District 4, former mayor and District 4 County Commissioner Grover Robinson.
Happy to be here.
Always good to have you. He is now the governmental liaison for Pensacola State College.
Yes.
Okay, so he's that dirty lobbyist word, but he's a very clean lobbyist. I know he's a good guy. Known him a long time. In fact, I think I've known you as long as I've lived here. The other county commissioner, formerly for District 4, which is the beach, of course, in the eastern half of Pensacola City. He is now also the supervisor of elections, Mr. Robert Bender, who I've also known a long time. Robert, welcome back.
Morning. Good to see you. And good to know Grover and I were never sunshine, so we could have always talked.
We were never sat in the seat. We
always, always free to talk to each other. So great. Oh, by the way, before we get going, Robert, you wanted to make an announcement because elections are coming. Qualifying is coming, and then primaries are coming. June 8th is qualifying.
June 8th to the 12th is qualifying. Noon deadline on June 8th. But we're just saying be election ready. So check to make sure you're still registered, which you'd get notice if you weren't. But go to our website, give us a call if you would need to renew your vote by mail. But we're gearing up for the primary August 18th.
And if people get in the mail a notice that their signature was on a petition to get a candidate on the ballot, that is part of the new law that went into place?
That is part of the new law that went into place last year. They don't have to do anything if they signed it. If they felt they didn't sign it and it might be fraudulent, they can return it to Office of Elections, Crimes, and Security.
Very good. And, I was kind of telling you guys before we got on the show that I got approached to sign for, is it Jasmine Brown? Is that the socialist mayor candidate? I mean, you don't party affiliation, but I know. I was approached by them at PSC, actually. We were there for the party a couple of weeks ago, and the party in the quad. And what do you call it? The green? The common?
Is green.
The green. Okay. Anyway, and I was about to sign it because I'll sign for anybody to be on the ballot because I think it's brave for anybody to run for office. And then I said, oh, wait, I don't live in the city. I can't sign this. I got the impression that maybe some people who also were not eligible to sign it might have still been signing it. Did you?
So May 11th was the deadline to return petitions, and they turned in about 1,700 the week before. And I think so far the majority that we've processed, we knew how many they had to make, and they already surpassed that number.
Okay, so they're qualified.
Invalids. No, they had more invalids than they were allowed to have already before we even got through all of it. So
really?
So she will not qualify by petition, but again, see who shows up over the next 3 weeks. Early paperwork can start being turned in on Tuesday. And so we'll see who shows up at the office over the next 3 weeks to put their name on the ballot.
So, beach traffic. I don't really know where to start. Obviously, Grover, you were starting to deal with this when you were in office. You certainly were dealing with when you were mayor. Robert, I've many times given you credit for doing a couple of things that wound up being, I thought, very effective, going from a pay-by-cash to a just drive-through, pay-by-plate or by SunPass. Great innovation. Also, the dedicated turn lane going down Fort Pickens was your idea. I don't know how much the side street off of by like Mom Beach.
Well, that
strip,
was all part of it.
That was a part of the plan, right?
That was a part of the plan. Robert got to implement some things.
Yeah.
I spent 12 years getting it that part. We put there's a lot of people who talk about. Also, we need more parking out there. So
right.
We put more parking around the substation.
Quit thumping the table, Grover. It's making a noise on the mic.
put something around the
They both have their arm. McGrover's got his hands behind his back, and Robert's got them crossed in front of him. I'm like, I know it's a habit. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
But no, we put the more parking around the substation, more parking down that road that goes up to Grand Marlin. So that was the whole idea. Get more stuff out there. We did all the stuff. We one-wayed the parking lot in and out.
Right.
So and then we started the process of really trying to get people out of the road and synchronizing a light that makes that happen. A lot of that spilled over to Robert when we got the
ATMS. Yep.
So all that stuff,
the remote operated traffic light. Right.
Since 2006, we've been trying to figure out how to get more people there. And again, we knew a big one was going to be once we automated the toll booth. That changed a lot of stuff, but it put a lot of pressure on that light.
Right.
And basically, when I was there, we came up with the two things, and people just didn't want to do anything, and that's fine. But there are two things that cause the problem. It's the left-hand turn coming in from Fort Pickens coming into Via de Luna, and it's the people in the road. If you can get rid of those two things, you will have free-flowing traffic. But you've got to figure out, and there aren't many ways
to do that. It's not scarcity of parking? Because that's what everybody assumes. It's scarcity of parking.
Well, scarcity of parking is a part of it, but it's just a couple of different things that are
it's
there.
It's people conflict and car direction conflict. Robert?
Yeah, so...
Oh, actually, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents or delays to report to you. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, back to Robert Bender. Is your assessment, share, disagree? Anything
no,
you want to say?
I totally agree. I think, one, that each of us have set our successor up for success, right? We haven't done anything that would maybe hamper what they wanted to do. So, you know, one of the first things I did was we had 85% of the traffic going eastbound on 98 in front of the beach sign. And those were merging into one lane with the flyover. So we made the flyover merge so the everyone wouldn't have to merge. So I think that helped.
Where instead of the flyover getting priority and the beach sign people having to merge in, now the beach sign turns as two dedicated lanes and the flyover has to merge in. Right.
Right. So you went again, you gave priority to the 85 instead of the 15. And then when we did, Grover had implemented the ATMS and the traffic light that you could remotely operate. Once we started really utilizing that, we saw what the bottleneck the toll plaza was creating by paying by cash. And so once we opened that up, then we were able to really utilize it. And so I think
that, and by the way, that was a thing, I think when you were still on the board, that had come up and failed and gotten thwarted. But then it became passed, and it just, you know.
We had just passed it when I was leaving, so I left it for Robert to implement.
I got you. Okay. and I was kind of a skeptic about this, too,
Everybody we talked to said, hey, they're going to hate it for 6 months, and then it's going to be like
gonna
everybody's
the way it's always
to.
Been. Yeah, yeah.
So when we did that, but I think for me, it was my biggest concern with the roundabout idea was that we put millions of dollars.
The goal of which was to do what Grover was saying, is to separate the turning cars from the car and the people primarily with the under.
And I'm not saying you have to like that. All I'm simply saying is there are two problems, and you got to figure out how you're going to take the problems.
My biggest fear, though, was that we put all that money into it and it wasn't enough. You know, we were building the new Chappie James Bridge.
Yeah.
We didn't know what the traffic volumes would be looking like. So I think what we were able to do is utilize the current structure that we had and make it very efficient. So, you know, we've increased it by 30%, right? And then, you know, when you think about that, we had 20,000 car days, which were a lot back then, and we'd be backed up across the bridge.
Into Gulf Breeze, onto 110
onto
even
110.
Sometimes, yeah.
And now we're doing 25,000 car days, 27,000 car days. And again, even when I was still there, you know, we'd have 25,000 car day. Traffic wasn't backing up much beyond the sign.
Right.
So, again, I think we were able to utilize it. So now I would like to see, a traffic study to see what if
well, we're
what
in
else
one.
Could be done.
Ashley right. Hofberger, who is your successor, yep. Ashley has said that we're in a traffic study that's going to go through June. So we'll know more when that gets done. I think the, questions that people ask, the obvious question, I mentioned parking. Do we need a parking structure? Would that even make a difference, really? Is that part of the problem? Grover, you look pretty skeptical.
I mean, here's the deal. When you start saying we're gonna do some things to try to make it more efficient, we're going to change some things on the road, people say, well, we want parking. So you're like, okay, I'm going to give you parking. Ooh, we don't want parking. So they go back and forth. I mean, parking was what was talked about in 2008. So yeah, we've done all this without really creating that much more parking, and it's as Robert said, we've made it much more efficient without adding a lot of parking.
We've moved the problem downstream from basically 3 mile bridge onto the Bob Sykes Bridge. We've eliminated, which is a great accomplishment.
But here's my point is people were saying it was parking in 2008, and we've done it. We've done all this growth. We have added some, but we didn't add a lot more parking.
And so that's not the source of the problem. It's been throughput issues and conflict, like you said, between the pedestrians and the cars and the cars and the cars.
The other thing that really happened, the explosion that we've seen at Pensacola Beach, one of the big things we've seen is making it more walkable. I think when you look at what we did, that was probably
the raised right crosswalks, after, I think, was under you, Robert. Is that right? If I remember, with the flashing lights and the crosswalks down.
We put in the flashing lights.
You put them in
the
flashing lights.
We did the raised more along Via de Luna.
Okay, right.
Yeah. But we put in that. That's what I was going to say. About 2013, 2014, we started doing that and making it much more walkable. And you see people doing it. And it's been a things.
That's a success, except
it brings more people into the road, which stops traffic.
At volume, that's a problem, right?
Absolutely.
So go ahead, Robert.
So I was going to say, one of the things I was working on when I left was, you know, looking at doing a parking garage south of the Visitor Information Center, east of the water tower.
Okay, in the parking lot.
In the parking lot. People, and again, I was trying to limit it to one level so that it wouldn't necessarily block a lot of views. But when you do that, and we were looking at trying to get the pedestrians out of the roadway, do some type of pedestrian flyover, but then you do have to account for all those vehicles exiting, especially in that late afternoon where Fort Pickens Road becomes very busy and we give it priority, you may still have a lot of people coming on the beach at that time. So how can you either avoid that potential conflict of more cars trying to leave the beach? And so you do need that holistic approach to do it.
You're almost going to have to get a flyover from – you could get a flyover from Fort Pickens Road to figure out how to bring people back over and not have conflict left in lane.
I know this is insane to even say it out loud, but what if the pattern was reversed through the parking lot? What if you went right to Fort Pickens and then left into the parking lot?
You have to make lefts in.
I know, but then at least you're coming out on the correct side at the end in the night. You're not fighting Fort Pickens on the leaving. You know what I'm saying? If you came on to Via de Luna with a left out of the parking lot, the exact reverse of what it is now.
You still have all the people coming down from the east. Everybody wants to come onto the beach at the same time. Everybody wants to leave at the same time.
And now you have people going in and out of the parking lot making left-hand turns. It's just not going to make any better.
I mean, I know it's not, but it, you know, it's the thing that occurs.
Well, okay, I mean, you could put roundabouts there and make that would make it work.
I know.
Hey, let me ask you this.
I was in favor of the roundabouts, by the way.
How you like the one down at the... I'll tell you one thing also we said we would do, and we did, and it's worked incredibly well is... Remember when you used to come down 17th, you have to sit at the light before you went to the beach, and
that
it
was
all
an
stacked
awful
up there.
Intersection. Yes.
Now, I mean, how
you
much
had two. You separated it into two levels, and that has solved almost everything at that intersection. Except for, I mean, they don't have many pedestrians, and there's not great pedestrian.
They used to have a ton of pedestrians, and getting rid of the light got rid of all the pedestrians.
Yeah, that's funny. All right, so I was a fan of the roundabout concept. It made sense to me, especially the part with the underpass, the walk under for pedestrians, because I thought that was a great... And I know people are like, no, that's crazy. Yeah, but as you say, separating pedestrians. Okay, I don't want to... We'll come back to this, but I cannot get this idea out of my head. And this is now the third or fourth time I have mentioned it on the air. Every person I mention it to just loses their mind, and I understand. But hear me out. What if we built a third bridge? A bridge that you can't probably do it right at Garcon Point because of the Walmart and Tiger Point, but something there where it's at the eastern edge of the developed area, west of the seashore, so that you literally have a grid. You have the Navarre Beach Bridge, you have the Bob Sykes Bridge, and you have a third bridge so that people can leave that way from the eastern end, and they can come in that way from the eastern end and start to create more of a grid kind of system. I know it'd be expensive. I know there'd be environmental impacts. I know it's probably never going to happen, and it's crazy. But at some point, every bridge, somebody thought it was crazy. Am I crazy for even thinking this is a possibility?
Bridges are simply so expensive, I don't think you would see that happen. It's like the people that always said, why don't we just build a bridge from Pensacola and just go to the far side of Gulf Breeze and then all the traffic.
Which was under consideration, the three-mile bridge, right.
It's been under consideration. Not going to happen because it's too expensive.
Yeah, I know.
So
plus the view's interrupted, I get it.
So, You know, it's I don't disagree with you, but I think what you really end up getting a much smaller bridge that would end up happening was if you could fly over traffic from Fort Pickens to come back to Via de Luna. That would be the only but you'd still have to figure out how you get people across. But that'd be a lot easier solution than getting the car. So you're gonna have to figure there is
because it's
be
not
something.
Just it's not just Fort Pickens traffic. It's the parking lot traffic right. that's
Correct.
Exiting that
Correct.
Way. Right.
Correct.
And
Correct.
And that was one of the things that we were ready to put out an RFP when I came to this current role, and that was going to be part of it. Was you have to give us a solution for getting cars out. Flyover's not off the table. Do a pedestrian walkover. The problem is with the walkover, which I did like the underground. Little worried about
nobody will use the walkover is
like,
the problem.
Right. Well, people don't like to go up and over.
Correct. They would use a tunnel. They wouldn't use a bridge.
They want the easiest path forward. But even with the walk unders, they still have to walk towards it to go under, and so they just would rather cross the street where they are.
Still work. Right?
And the other thing with an overpass is that the footprint for the landing has to be so large, and you don't have a lot of area in the boardwalk.
Then you can take up parking.
You're gonna eliminate parking from that side of the. I know for people who may not. People who know the area but may not know exactly what you mean, a flyover would be if you're going northeast on Fort Pickens Road, approaching the light. Instead of going through a traffic signal, you'd go up a ramp, bend around, and merge down to your left as you join Via de Luna going back towards Bob Sykes Bridge. That's the flyover concept.
Yep. You get rid of the light. Get rid of the light.
I'd say if someone had a magic wand, what could I do?
Yeah.
Part of it would be to close that exit. At Alvin's Island. You know, Alvin's Island is very narrow right there, and that is always a bottleneck for cars in that parking lot.
Just make it so it's a three-way intersection instead
Correct.
Of a four-way.
It's more of a three-way or a right turn only or something like that, but then you run into the issue of, okay, well, how did the beach trolleys turn left to go down Via de Luna? Mm-hmm. You run into that issue, but...
Why don't we close that entrance? It's nothing but trouble.
Again, though, you have to have a safe left for our trolleys.
Some of it's the convenience
business,
store there.
Yeah,
and the other stuff that's had
but again,
Flounders is not going to love it. Yeah,
well, right. And I don't know about they have their entrance and exit right on the east side of their property. But again, Alvin's Island is so far out into that parking lot, it's you just don't have any room. And if you close that off and allowed more east west. Flow through because what happens is people bottleneck trying to wait even get out and then that also impacts the rest of the intersection.
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, all of that does.
All right. We're going to take a pause here. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents or delays. Everything looks good. John Pickens, traffic on the fives.
All right. We're talking to Grover Robinson, Robert Bender, both former county commissioners for District 4. Of course, Grover was then mayor and is now working at PSC. Robert is now the supervisor of elections. But I just thought, you know, we've been talking about beach traffic. Let's get the guys who worked on it the most. I know Ashley has her views. I don't generally have electeds on the show usually, but this is kind of a unique circumstance and it's not your role as supervisor of elections primarily, but what's the price tag on that flyover? At least what was it when you looked at it?
We didn't have,
I would guess you're like in the 40 or 50 million range.
It was millions on the, we're going to do, we never, the only time we looked at it was with the roundabouts.
And oh, okay. That was a huge price tag. Okay. But, so that's the solution has to be there. There's nothing that you need to do at the other end, like at 399 at the flyover sailfish sign location where, you know, it intersects with 98. That's all functioning properly. The widening is going to happen. They're maybe going to do a flyover there with Highway 98 going over, you know, reversing basically what we have now. And as Sam Abel so delicately said, we may have to scooch the beach sign a little bit to make that happen. But the problem isn't up there. It's not up road there. It's right on the beach, right?
Correct.
Well, you're still going to have the issue of everybody at the lights on 98. And again, that's why we're looking at countywide approaches to the traffic management system. We have the new building coming. Yeah. So it is a holistic approach that you have to take. Because, of course, as you whack one mole, the other one pops up. So, and I think that's what we do. We try to do that systematic approach. And I think the traffic engineer is right. We squeezed everything out of it, and really we haven't put that much more in terms of cost wise.
I think it does say look at what we've done from 2006 to get to where we are here, and we did a lot of good things. I mean that's what you can easily come back and say. Wow, we did a lot of good things.
All right, I got like 30 seconds left. No time to discuss opinion. Will there be an effort to redistrict Escambia County, either to a at large or anything else because of the Calais decision? Grover, what do you think?
That's the guy that's got to worry about. No opinion to me. I'll just show up and vote. I'll show up and vote whatever district they assign me.
Not my decision if they want to do it or not. Of course, there's already been talk about either redistricting or the single-member districts
based on that court ruling. Yeah.
And so we are here to assist those that make that decision if they need anything.
I love it. That's fantastic. Well, Grover and Robert, it was really interesting. I learned several things. I appreciate that. And thank you for being here today and making time. And, you know, obviously thank you for your service.
So. Glad to be on. Thank you.
All right. That's it for us. Meg is up next. Have a fantastic weekend. Try not to get stuck in the traffic that we were just talking about. I'm sure it'll be hectic today. Lisa.